Welcome to this special report for the Global Reset Survival Guide. I'm Mike Adams, your host. This is about ballistics, range finding, and perimeter defense for your home or your country cabin or whatever you have, again, outside the city. You probably can't survive in the city for long, so you need a place outside that we've already talked about in the other chapters. I'm going to give you specific gear recommendations here that will make your life very simple. Now, just understand that when you're shooting rifles, of course, the bullets drop and you have to have vertical and horizontal holds for those rounds based on the distances that you're trying to shoot at. Now, typically for an AR-15 rifle, you can effectively engage maybe 300 yards, 350, but you can push that out to about 600 yards if you have a ballistic reticle. And a ballistic reticle will typically have horizontal hash marks that just say 2, 4, and 6. That means 200 yards, 400 yards, and 600 yards, typically based on the fact that you've sighted in that rifle at 100 yards. And by the way, a 100-yard sight-in is not really the ideal sight-in, but that's what's used for most of these ballistic reticles. A much better way to sight in these rifles, well, I should say, so if you're aiming at a target that's 600 yards away, you hold the 6 hash mark vertically on your target, and that would put those rounds on that target at about 600 yards. Beyond 600 yards, you need to start getting into more accurate ballistics and rifle scopes that have reticles where you can hold very precise numbers of mils, which means milliradians. And the best that I've ever found, and what I use personally, is called the Tremor 2 and Tremor 3 reticles. There's also an H59 from the same company. I think it's called Applied Ballistics. It used to be called Horus, I believe, but I'm a little confused about who owns that company now, but it's just the best thing to use. And they're very expensive, but they're also very, very effective at rapid target acquisition at different ranges. But to make this simple for you, allow me to explain what SIG has done. SIG Sauer. They have laser rangefinders that are called Kilo, K-I-L-O. And they have the Kilo BDX. BDX means Ballistic Data Exchange. And what these laser rangefinders are able to do is, for example, in the rangefinder itself, it will give you a ballistics solution out to about 800 yards. So even you can buy these that operate, they can range targets up to, I think, 2,400 yards for the handheld version and 3,000 yards for the binoculars. And they'll give you a target solution out to 800 yards inside the reticle of that rangefinder. In other words, if you point that rangefinder at a target that is 750 yards away, after you have fed in your bullet data, your ballistics data, through your usually an app on your iPhone or your Android, and it loads those into the rangefinder, and it tells you once you laze that target at 750 yards, it tells you exactly what to hold in your rifle. For example, it might be hold 4 mils vertically and 0.6 to the left to account for spin drift, for example. And all that means is you take your rifle and you hold those hash marks in the scope and pull the trigger, and it puts that round on target, assuming that you don't have other windage that's affecting it, which is a whole different ballgame. But in a no-wind situation, it should put those rounds right on target. Now, obviously, at this point, you're shooting something bigger than a 5.56 round, something bigger than an AR-15. You might be shooting a 308 rifle, such as a Remington 700 model bolt action rifle. You might have a 308 battle rifle. You might have a 30-06 hunting rifle or something like that. And these ballistics solutions are very, very accurate for all of those rounds. As long as you put in accurate ballistics information into the system, it'll give you those solutions out to 800 yards. Now, beyond 800 yards, you need to pair this Kilo BDX technology with something called the Garmin Foretrex, F-O-R-E-T-R-E-X. This is a wrist-worn device made by Garmin that has licensed the Applied Ballistics software, the ballistics calculation software. It's built into that thing, and it uses Bluetooth technology to talk to your rangefinder. So at that point, if you have, let's say, a Kilo 2400 BDX, which you can pick up for now just a few hundred dollars from SIG Sauer, you can laze a target at, let's say, 2,000 yards, and you look down to your wrist, and the Garmin Fortrex device will tell you exactly what to hold, which, depending on what round you're shooting and the, you know, muzzle velocity and ballistics coefficient and all that, your hold might be, I don't know, 12 mils vertically and, you know, two to the left or whatever. Just depends on what you're shooting. That gives you ballistic solutions very, very quickly with just a rangefinder, a Garmin Fortrex device on your wrist, and then a typically a Tremor 2 or Tremor 3 reticle in a bolt action rifle that has long range accuracy. And there are a lot of, you know, a lot of great rifles for that. I happen to like the Desert Tech Bullpup A1, you know, SRS A1 Scout rifles. I just like that platform a lot, and I have a suppressor on it, so it makes it even easier to shoot. But use whatever you want to use. This is how you can put rounds on target out to, frankly, 3,000 yards if you have a Kilo 3000 set of binoculars, which I own, and I think they're freaking amazing. Now, the other thing, if you want to simplify this even further, and you don't have enough money to buy a Tremor reticle and a high-end scope that might cost you, you know, $3,500, then SIG makes lower-end scopes that are paired to the rangefinder, and they're called SIG Sauer BDX rifle scopes. Now remember, this BDX stands for Ballistic Data Exchange. And what happens is you have a SIG BDX rifle scope on your rifle, and then you have a SIG Kilo BDX rangefinder. You laze the target with the rangefinder. The rangefinder talks to the rifle scope, and it calculates a ballistic solution for the holds that you need, and then it shows you the hold with a red dot in your rifle scope. And then you simply adjust vertically and horizontally to line up that red dot with your target. You pull the trigger, and that should put that round on target. And those rifle scopes can be as inexpensive as $400 or $500, just depending on the magnification range that you're getting. So a lot of people really like that setup. It's just, I think the limitation on those rifle scopes is, I think they're limited to 800 yards for those ballistic solutions, which is why those of us who are really accomplished long-range shooters, you know, 800 yards is not really considered long range to us. That's rifle range, you know. 800 yards, you can put a 308 round at 800 yards. We like to shoot way beyond 800 yards, so we don't use the SIG BDX rifle scopes. We use really professional rifle scopes like the, you know, Applied Ballistics Tremor 2 scope that I mentioned. But it's your choice, you know, and it also depends on your budget. The thing is, once you get this situation nailed down, whatever you want to use for this, you're going to have a rangefinder, you're going to have a ballistic solution, you're going to have a rifle scope that you can use to adjust your holds. Then what you need to do is, on your property, use that rangefinder and go out and range all the landmarks on your property from where you plan to be shooting zombies. In other words, if you're in your log cabin or whatever, and you think that that's where you're going to be when the zombies come and you're going to need to shoot a bunch of zombies, then you need to know how many yards is it to the zombie entrance gate, or, you know, the rock on the side of the driveway or whatever, the boulder, you know? So you should know, oh, it's 1,000 yards to the gate. It's 800 yards to the boulder. It's, you know, 600 yards to the bridge across the stream. Whatever you have, you should note that and write that down and put it on the wall wherever you plan to be when you're shooting zombies. That way, you've already got your holds figured out. In fact, you could even write down the holds, like how many mils. You know, 1,000 yards, the hold is 10.5 mils or whatever for this particular rifle and this particular ammunition. You figure all that in advance. I've done the same thing. And that way, if you're invaded by a zombie mob, all you got to do is pick up your rifle, check your dope sheet there on the wall, and start sending rounds downrange at the ranges that those zombies have put themselves at. You will be able to outrange them. See, zombies, they may have AR-15s or little 9mm pistols, rifles, whatever. They're very unlikely to have long-range, ballistically accurate solutions where they can engage you at anything beyond about 350 yards. So you could shoot zombies all the way as they're marching in towards you. You could shoot them from 1,000 yards in. You can take them out at 800 yards, take them out at 600 yards, take them out at 400 yards. At some point, they may run out of zombies, you know, for that zombie wave. Or the zombies may change their minds. Some of them still have brain cells that are operating, and they may lose their morale check. You know, at some point they're like, hey, everybody's dying around me as we keep assaulting this farmhouse. You know, maybe we should find a different farmhouse. You know, zombie logic does actually kick in at some point, even though most of their brains are fried. You know, there is, when enough of them start, you know, their heads are exploding and they're falling over and bleeding out, some of them will notice and they may decide to do something different. This is especially effective if you've got a night vision set up on your rifle at night and you have a perimeter warning system where you can detect when people are coming in and getting on your land. And, you know, perimeter warning system could be just a couple of mean dogs. You know, they start barking and you have some motion sensing, let's say solar powered LED lights, and the lights start going off and lighting up zombies out there. That's a real simple low tech thing that you can do, by the way. You can put motion sensing solar powered lights that are like 800 lumens on large, like tall poles out in the middle of your fields or along your roadway or whatever, your driveway. And zombies start marching in, you're just lighting them up and your dogs are barking. You just grab your rifle. You may not even need night vision if you have enough solar powered lights, you know. You know the range, you know where they are, you just start laying down some lead and you take them out. It's very, very doable. You don't have to be overrun by a group of, you know, violent blood drinking zombies. You can take them out daytime or nighttime. You know, just a couple of people can be very, very effective at long range rifle fire if you practice in advance and do all this in advance. The other thing, finally, that I'll add to this little bonus report here is it's important to force them to get out of their vehicles. You don't want to allow vehicles to come down your driveway because they can bring, you know, 10 trucks very quickly into your space. And then they've got close assault teams and you can't outrange them at this point. If you can force them out of their vehicles and onto foot, then you have the advantage and it takes them a lot of time to try to approach you, especially if you've got areas that are mostly clear fields, then they wouldn't have much to hide behind, you know, would they? So you could take them out pretty easily. And there's simple ways that you can force people to get out of vehicles and go on foot. One way is to just block your driveway with another big, heavy vehicle or some kind of tractor equipment or something that's big and heavy that's hard for them to move out of the way. Second way is to dig ditches along the entire perimeter, the line of your property. Let's say where your property meets the road, where you think they might try to drive in and go around your driveway or something. You just dig a ditch, you know, with a excavator, just dig a ditch that's 2 feet wide, 2 feet deep. Guess what? Most vehicles aren't going to go across that. They'll get stuck in the ditch. Their front tires will get stuck. Or you could also let trees grow up or have a bunch of cactus growing there or, you know, all kinds of things. You could put a bunch of barbed wire there, which is normal in an agricultural area. And barbed wire, you know, human beings don't like to try to march through barbed wire for all the obvious reasons. And that stuff hurts. not even counting razor wire. So there are a lot of things that you can do to motivate people to get out of their vehicles and try to assault you on foot where you have the time advantage and the range advantage and the early warning advantage so that you can take them out. And there are other things that you could even do to line your driveway or whatever assault route you think they're coming on. And I have to mention a big disclaimer on this. I mean, I've heard of people doing these things. I don't do these myself because they're illegal. Basically, the ATF would arrest you for making bombs, even if you're just defending your own property. So don't do this. But in a time of, let's say, a societal collapse, a civil war, let's say America is being invaded by Chinese communist troops or whatever, you think communist troops are going to come get you. Would you be in the right to make bombs at that time to kill foreign enemy troops? Yeah, absolutely you would. Just don't do it until then, because it is highly illegal and also extremely dangerous. But I've heard of other people mixing things like they'll make basically napalm. I'm not even going to tell you how to make napalm because I don't want to be in that business of teaching people to, you know, to make bombs or whatever. But they'll make napalm, and I guess there are recipes all over the internet. It's not even that difficult, but you could make it, you know, theoretically. Don't do this, but you could make it. Again, theoretically, put it in a vessel like a bucket, hang it on a tree branch above where you think the group of Chinese communist foreign troops are going to maybe be marching as they try to invade your property. And then you could, theoretically, you could hit that bucket with a tracer round or an incendiary round and rain down freaking fiery napalm on a bunch of communist Chinese troops. Would, you know, I'm just saying, don't build that in normal times. You will go to jail and you might blow yourself up. Who knows? That's why I don't do these things, because man, I don't want to mess with bombs and fire and explosives. I mean, it's harsh enough just shooting some of these big rifles. It's like having an explosion in your face. I don't want to blow my eyebrows off. You know, I like having ears and fingers, you know, things like that. So I don't mess with explosives. But if we were invaded as a nation and we were trying to defend America against foreign troops, I don't know. I might change my mind at that time. And there's a lot of low-tech stuff that's pretty gory and pretty horrendous, but also really damn effective that, you know, you might use as a last-ditch defense. But just a disclaimer, again, people who make bombs tend to blow themselves up because, you know, one wrong spark and it's over for you. So it would be better if you never had to do that. And, you know, try not to piss off the ATF either, because they get really nervous when people are out there making bombs during, you know, peacetime. if anybody's making bombs right now, it's these radical left-wing Antifa Black Lives Matter terrorists. They're probably making all kinds of bombs, planning to bomb, you know, conservatives and Christians, probably bombing churches is what they're doing with those things, because they really are terrorists. They love to bomb government buildings. There's one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter was actually a convicted terrorist who actually, I think she was part of a team that trained people how to actually make some kind of bombs, and they were bombing government buildings, and she got caught and she got prosecuted. I think her sentence was commuted by President Bill Clinton, in fact, and she's back at work trying to teach Black Lives Matter how to overthrow the country. So there are going to be bombs out there, you know, and bombs suck. Fire injuries, burns suck. I mean, it's cruelty to do that. So you would only even consider being involved in that as a last ditch defense when you know you're about to be killed if they overrun your property. But just some things to think about. I wish we lived in a world where we didn't have to talk about napalm and things like that, because it's just inhumane. You know, I wish we could just live in a world where I could do podcasts about nutrition and vitamin C and how to grow, you know, parsley in your garden, because that's really what I'm about. But sadly, we live in a world where we have to prepare for crazy, angry zombie mobs and foreign troops who want to try to kill us. And so we're going to have to deal with that. That's what this podcast, this special report is all about, dealing with that so we can get back to just gardening and living in peace, because that's what I really stand for. But thank you for listening.